go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. This message is in preparation for what the Lord is going to do in our lives in the coming days. Very, very special week that we have and planned. And like I said, lots of prayer has gone into this. And we're going to continue praying this week and asking the Lord to give His special blessings upon the conference that will kick off this coming weekend. We got the missionaries pretty much coming in on Saturday. Anybody want to remind me who's coming? Just anybody want to just right off the cuff here tell me a name of one of the families that's coming? The Wilt family. Who else? Needhams. What's the other family? Hill family. All right. Where's the Hill family going? Argentina. That's right. Argentina. Great. All right. Where's the Needham family going? There you go. That was good. What about the Wilt family? Staten Island. Amen. And so all three are actually reaching foreign countries. And so we're excited about them coming and just seeing what God's going to be doing. I've talked to all of them and wanted to mention some things here. I'll mention more in the message. But just a blessing to be able to have this. And this year's theme is renewing our compassion. The Lord knows we so desperately are in need of that. We're going through some checklists with the missions committee. We have what we call our task sheet. It's basically split up to where everyone has their responsibilities and what they're going to be doing, and we check it off and we have our little meeting. Hey, did you do this? Hey, did you do that? And we get it checked off so we can move forward. And it's actually very organized and a great way to do that and to be orderly. And so I just thought that we would maybe have a little checklist tonight, make sure that we're getting things in order for our missions conference. But before we have our checklist, I just want to read in Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Paul said to the church here in Galatia, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for the Lord Jesus and His saving power. And we're also thankful for the Holy Spirit who indwells us and controls us as we yield ourselves to Him. We do want to thank You for this time that we've had to worship tonight in praises and giving. And now as we come to Your Word, Lord, would You help us to do evaluation, to make sure that we are truly ready for this life-changing week, our missions conference. Lord, please help us even tonight. I pray that You would help us make some very life-changing decisions even tonight that would allow Your Spirit to do exactly what He wants to do. And we'll give You the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, some of you, I'm going to date myself here. Some of you are going to think, "Man, preacher, you're just a youngin'." And then some of you here are going to be like, "Man, preacher, you're an old dude." But some of you may remember the date. I do remember. I was in kindergarten. The date was January 28, 1986. I was just a little whippersnapper, probably driving my kindergarten teacher crazy. But that's what I was doing. But I remember something that I'll never forget that day. And some of you already know where I'm going. That is a day that will go down history as a very sad day, but it was a day that the Challenger, the space shuttle Challenger, would explode after leaving the ground after about 73 seconds after launch off, liftoff. It exploded in the air and just disintegrated. And I remember as a little kid really not knowing what to do. And it really, a lot, they say 17% of the nation was actually watching this, even in 1986, and a lot of them were schools. A lot of them were students because there was a teacher actually on board that trip that was going with the astronauts. But it just left an indelible impression upon my heart and mind. One of the things that was fascinating later on in life, wondering what exactly happened on that terrible event, what caused this space shuttle to explode after 73 seconds from liftoff. Some of you may know this already, but it was actually due to a malfunction of what they call an O-ring. I mean, in comparison to the size of the shuttle, it was nothing. I mean, it was small. It was sort of like a gasket, if you will, a stuffing to keep things airtight with all the pressure that would be caused from intense and astronomical amount of pressure from that shuttle lifting off. There was warnings actually given about that O-ring times before. And there was actually warnings too that the weather probably was a little bit too cold for liftoff that morning. And some of these warnings were not yielded to, but they did it anyway. And of course, a tragic event like that took place because of one little O-ring. And I was reminded today and thinking to myself as we prepare for missions conference, the Lord just sort of said, son, are you ready for missions conference? Is the church ready for missions conference? So I felt impressed to help us go through some things to make sure that our hearts were ready and our minds were ready for such a life-changing conference. And let me say this too. It is a life or death conference. And I don't say that to manipulate anybody. It is just the gospel truth because, we are determining what we're going to do about the souls of men and women that will spend eternity somewhere. So it's not just let's come hold hands and have just a little time of fellowship. There will be fellowship involved, but it's going to be a business meeting about what we're going to do about the lives and souls that will spend eternity somewhere. We have our checklist, and that's good. But as we see here in this verse that I've read, the context is speaking actually of circumcision, that it had caused a problem, that there were Jewish believers who were trying to keep the law in the sense of keeping circumcision as a part of grace and a part of obtaining salvation. And Paul says, listen, you guys know better. That's not the way you started. You were running well, and now you're letting some things creep in. And he uses that term there. Listen, in verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It spoils the bunch. And God forbid, I'm asking God to work in my heart. Lord, please, do not let there be anything in my life that would hinder the work of your Spirit coming up in our 2017 missions conference. You know, I started my checklist, some of the things that we all think about. One was the flags. Now, I know that was on the top of Mrs. Stone's checklist. We're going to have the flags. That's something we checked off. Now, what about the missionaries? Well, yeah, we got to have missionaries. So we got them coming. We got the three families. What else? We got meal sign up. By the way, you folks, I think, are doing pretty good on that. Please don't forget about the meal sign up. But we've started that. We have the missions closet stocked pretty good. Ms. Norma, things still coming in, correct? For that, it could be a little quicker, right? A little better. So be praying about the missions closet, okay? We need to stock that, but we've been working on that. That's in the bulletin. And oh, how could we ever forget the international dinner? Oh boy, that's going to be a good time. Our Sunday international lunch that we'll have all kinds of delicacies that we'll be able to try out. Of course, we always have a backup with some fried chicken. We always will have that no matter what. It is our southern dish, so we got to have it to represent Georgia. Amen? So we'll have that international dinner. Some other things that we could go on, and I could go on with different things that we're going to have and sponsoring and just events planned. But the truth is, those are important, but they're not nearly as important as this next checklist that I have written down here that I believe the Lord wants us to make sure that we have in order. The first one I'd like to say is an obvious. In order for God to give us a successful missions conference this year, we got to have all sin confessed. I mean, it's all been confessed to the Lord. I'm thankful in the Word of God how God talks about the blessings of confession and how He blesses it. Listen to this in Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And one of the things we would never want to do, I don't think any of you would want to do this, is to hinder the work of Almighty God. When there are people depending upon this little church in Athens, Georgia, to put forth some effort and prayers and financial support to make a difference somewhere in the world, perhaps some lost soul in Staten Island, perhaps somebody in Argentina, perhaps it's some lost soul in some unknown village in Cameroon, up in the mountains of Cameroon that nobody's ever heard of, that's waiting to hear the gospel, and perhaps we will be able to play a part. And I would just hate for any of us to hinder the work of the Spirit because we don't have any have our sin confessed unto the Lord. We need to check that off and make sure that's good to go. But another one I thought of, folks, is this: a surrendered life. A surrendered life. Well, what does Mark, you can go over there with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we see here in Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. Mark chapter 8, a lesson here for the disciples. And the Bible says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Now get this, 35. Now boy, this goes against the grain in our culture, okay? "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Do you see what that is talking about there? It's talking about the Lord Jesus just being a sold out, surrendered Christian. And I believe that that is something that we must make sure that we have in order going into our missions conference. That everything has been given over to the Lord. Our whole life surrendered unto Him. Denying ourselves. That's an interesting term there. Whosoever saves his life shall lose it. You know what I believe that's talking about there? It's almost counts the idea as you trying to protect your life for you instead of letting it be used for God and others. It's a selfish motive that many of us fall temptation to, but the truth of it is that's something we can have in order and saying, "Lord, I want to be a disciple. I want to be one who will go after you and deny myself and that will take up my cross." By the way, I was reading a devotion earlier this week, or I believe it was the week before, and it was such a blessing to me. It was talking about this idea of a cross. And it said, the challenge was, carry your cross with a smile. And I was like, oh boy, I think I know where this is going. But the fact of the matter is, what it was teaching is it's saying, listen, one of the things you need to realize is that your cross has been assigned to you. And we sometimes forget that, but not only this, but then we forget, we almost feel like God's picking on us, but remember this, God has actually assigned a cross to everyone. Everybody, every Christian has a cross that they have been assigned and given to by God to carry, and it requires for them to deny themselves completely. And here's the thing too. Sometimes we get the idea that our cross hurts more than somebody else's cross. Folks, that's a dangerous place to get in. It may be the case, but never should we compare our crosses with others. Remember, there's no such thing, get this, and if you don't believe it, let's look to Calvary. There is no such thing as a cross that does not hurt. And everyone has one. And we need to understand that you, people may not know exactly what your cross is, and you may not understand what theirs is, but the fact of the matter is, you can guarantee it, if they're a believer in the Lord God, they have a cross. And God is going to give them the grace to carry it as they deny themselves. But it's something to remember that the surrendered life realizes that, you know what? Whatever God gives me, I know it's going to be appointed from Him. and with an appointment comes anointment. He's going to anoint me and help me and empower me to do His blessed will, the surrendered life. You know, I'm talking to some parents here, and I believe this, that perhaps you haven't come to a point in your life where you've surrendered your children unto the Lord. Perhaps God may start working in your child's heart about the mission field or going to visit or whatever the case may be. And that's something that you need to be supporting already and encouraging, getting behind in any way and not just holding on. Young people, I know you're going to be challenged in the coming days, and I encourage you to prepare your hearts to be surrendered as God will speak to you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard of God's Spirit moving upon young people during a missions conference and giving them a burden for missions and going to a certain place, at least to visit, if not to work on a permanent basis. But there must be a spirit of surrender, of letting go and letting God. And I trust that we'll have that. But here's another one we may not think about, something you may not even think about being on a missions conference checkoff list, but I guarantee you it has to be there. And that is, my dear friend, this thing of making sure that we have resolved all disagreements, all disputes, all discord. If there's been anything that perhaps a brother or sister has said or done that has offended you, and it is causing contention in your heart and mind, it's causing contention in your family, my dear friends, it is the utmost importance that you get that resolved. And it's very simple, in fact. I'm glad God makes things simple for us. In Matthew chapter 18, the Word of God says this in verse number 15. Matthew 18:15 says this, "Moreover, if thy brother," or you could say sister, "shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." You go to them in privacy with a gracious spirit. And it says, "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." And from what I understand, among these brethren here, among you folks that I've gotten to know, I wouldn't suspect anybody here that would be approached by another brother and sister that perhaps has been offended where you would say, "No way." I believe that everyone here is spiritual enough to realize that perhaps if you have offended somebody or if you have done something and maybe didn't even realize it, I think it would be a wise option for a spiritual brother or sister to approach them and say, "Look, I just had something on my heart. There was something said. I don't know what you meant by it. I may have taken it the wrong way, but I just felt like I needed to talk to you about it." Because the last thing we want to do is to hinder the work of God going into our missions conference because the devil has twisted something in our minds and hearts, thinking that somebody is against us, doesn't like us, or whatever the case may be. But may God help us to have all disagreements or discord resolved by the grace of God. I'm seeing that daily in the Jennings household. And with little Thomas, Brent, and Marianne, and even Caroline now, my word. Little 13-month-old, she's starting to show her opinion to those little Marianne and Thomas. And she wants to look at a book, she gives her opinion real quick and lets them know. And if they don't give in, she really lets them know. But I'm constantly saying now, "Thomas, you need to go and apologize. You need to say, tell Marianne you're sorry." And of course, that's what he'll do because he knows the results if he doesn't. But he says, "You know what, Marianne, I'm sorry." And then we do this for training purposes. And hopefully it will come natural one day. We always have the other person, whoever was offended, to say verbally and out loud so the other person can hear, is to say, "I forgive you." Because that's what needs to be trained. There needs to be a confession and apology to the one who's offended, the one who was offended, apology to that person, and then a simple, "I forgive you." And that's something that we need to practice even as a church. Hey, let's be honest, folks. Let's none of us think that we're so spiritual that just because we're in a church wall and because we go to the same church and because we're in the same directory, let's not think for a minute that we're not going to offend each other from time to time. Let's be real. Let's be transparent. And folks, the last thing we can let those things do is to build up and build up, because a little leaven, a little O-ring, can bring mega disaster.
and cause a mess. And I just want to encourage all of us tonight that if there's some unresolved disagreement, that let's get that settled. Perhaps even tonight, before you leave this auditorium, you go to that sister and brother in Christ and you go to them in private, or give them a call, or send them a text, and do send a message or something, so that you don't have that disagreement and discord that the devil will use to hinder a missions conference like we will enter into. But not only do I see this thing of checking off a confessed sin and a surrendered life and a resolved disagreement, but folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we better make sure we got a caring heart. A caring heart. You remember the message I preached the other week, a cry from a cave? Y'all remember that? I know y'all don't hardly remember anything I preached, but I don't either, so don't feel bad. But a caring heart, and comes from a cry in a cave. What was going on? The psalmist was in a place where he didn't have anybody to look to. And I believe that the Lord will bless this missions conference if we'll go into this conference simply caring. Simply being concerned about people we've never seen before, families we've never met before that will come into our church. I pray that God will help this church for the missionaries to come in and feel like family from day one. Like they've been a part of this church for all of their lives as they come in. I'm trusting that you young people, you teenagers, will go up and speak to the missionaries. And that will and introduce yourself and just ask questions. And all of us should do that. We're going to have them set up back there in that foyer. That beautiful foyer that the Lord has blessed us with. We'll have their tables back there. And after every service and before every service will be an opportunity for you to go and just to let them know that you care. You know, I do want the people in these countries, wherever they may be, and folks, missionaries we're supporting even now in Morocco and Tunisia and other places. I'm thankful that one day we'll be standing beside somebody that got saved. We'll be standing beside them up in glory. And they're going to be giving testimony that I'm thankful that somebody cared. Somebody cared for my soul. And I want to thank you for playing a part in that. And I believe the Lord will allow us to do that as we show forth a caring heart. What is something else we need to be ready for? I believe we need to make sure we have our generous giving and ready to go. You know, over in Acts chapter 20, Paul said the Lord Jesus gave testimony that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We did great with our Faith Promise Church. I'm just shouting hallelujah in my heart and praising God. The Lord has blessed our church. We increased our Faith Promise last year by several thousand dollars, and God blessed in every way, and it continues to look that way. But I'm praying that God would even increase it even more in the coming year. That we'd be able to take on these three missionaries and maybe even a few more. That we'll be able to take a missions trip here in the near future, and that the Lord would give us the grace to be able to do that. I'm looking forward to reading a letter to you during the missions conference that was written by the Reisinger family. A family that you all helped us. We all gave forth in our faith promise that allowed a very large team of 16 church members to enable them and help them in many ways to take this trip. And what God did in their hearts through that, I'll be sharing that with you during the conference. But that was because of your generous giving. And I want to commend you on that. And we need to ask Lord to just strengthen us in that and let us go the next step in this thing of a generous giving. Now, here's another thing when it talks in the subject of giving, but it's not the giving that I just talked about. It's in forgiving. You know, I believe that if we were to go into this conference with folks with bitterness and anything that with an unforgiving spirit, I believe the Spirit of God will be hindered. And I believe that much of what will go on would be in vain because the absence of the power of God. And it could very well be because someone in our church refuses to forgive. And we know what the Bible says about that and being forgiving. In Proverbs, I'll remind you, in Proverbs chapter 17, it says this in verse number 9. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." And I got here written in my Bible, and it's something that we need to be extra careful about, folks. Be very careful on sharing the faults of others. You know, it's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And God is not pleased when we go to others and make comments like this. You won't believe what they said to me. You won't believe what he or she did. Hey, listen. God is not pleased with that. God is pleased when you go to that brother and sister and perhaps they did do something that was a fault. Perhaps they did do something that was wrong, but you go to them in a humble spirit and say, this is just something I witnessed, I saw, something I felt like I needed to bring to your attention, and you go in love. That's what the Word of God here is saying. If you cover a transgression, doesn't mean you ignore it. Doesn't mean that it just kind of goes by the wayside. No, that cover carries the idea of atonement as well. You forgive it. But you cover it, a transgression, you know, you're seeking love. But there's those that love to repeat a matter. And boy, I'll tell you what, if there's anything that would hinder that the missions conference, it would be that sin of gossip about other people's faults. And if you've done that, dear friend, I encourage you to go to people that you have been gossiping to. I wouldn't necessarily say go to that person unless they knew you were talking about them, but you go to those people that you've been letting your tongue have way too much liberty in expressing the faults of others when you hadn't even talked to that person about it. And the best thing that you can do in the eyes of Almighty God is to go to those people that you have gossiped to and said, look, I am sorry for the things I said about that person. I hadn't even talked to them. I hadn't even been praying for them. And I shouldn't have been talking that way. The Lord would bless that. The Lord would give mercy on that. And it would be a testimony of God's Spirit working. Listen, let's be people that are filled with love and forgiveness. Not that we ignore sin, but we confront it God's way. And that's with truth and love and grace. And praise God for that. But then I'll say another thing here, I believe that we got to be careful with, and it's in the same subject, and that is, let's make sure that we have a tamed tongue. Our words. To be tamed and controlled. You know, James talks about how difficult it is to control our words, and it has to be controlled by the Spirit. In the same chapter, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 9, verse number 27 says this, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. This is what I have written in my Bible. Want to be wise, knowledgeable, and of understanding? Know when to shut up. Know when to shut your mouth is what I have written here, because that is a Bible principle. We need to be controlled in our words and just not be a gossip in any way and not be a complainer of people that talk too much in the area of being critical about things in their life and about others. It's too much. And God says, bring it back. Rein those words back. And be of one that speaks of positive, bright things for the glory of God. Look what the blessings of God are doing. But I tell you what, that can hinder even a missions conference. It may seem a little thing. What do you mean, preacher, about me just complaining and me being critical could hinder the work of God in our church? Well, according to the Bible, it is just a leaven, just a little bit. Leaveneth the whole lump, can cause a big problem. And folks, these are some things that God has just impressed upon my heart that yes, we're going to have flags and praise God, we're going to have a great international dinner and we're going to have questions and answers and it is going to be a joyous occasion. God, I believe, is going to bless. But let's make sure that we put ourselves in line with what God expects to truly be on the checklist. Because we can get as fancy as we want with all of the bells and whistles. But if our spirit is not in line with the Holy Spirit, man, I don't even want to have this conference. And so I pray that even tonight, as we consider these things and anything else that the Lord has worked in our hearts about, I pray that we will go in ready. And I pray it to be the greatest missions conference that this church has ever had because of what God has done, because His people just simply surrendered unto Him. You know, that O-ring caused a terrible event. But tonight, I want us to look at our own selves and see if there might be a spiritual O-ring. A spiritual O-ring. Just a little gasket, folks. Just a little gasket. But is letting some things in or letting some things out that are hindering and would hinder perhaps the destiny of a lost soul. Would you stand with me, please? As the musicians come, we're going to play our theme song, Renew Me. And I trust that you'll be obedient to God's Spirit in any way that the Lord has spoken to you, in any way that you feel that you need to do business with the Lord. I trust that you will do that. I'm going to pray, and then the musicians will begin our invitation. Father, this is a time for us to search our hearts. Father, it's a time for us to look to You. Lord, I'm speaking for myself now. Lord, please don't let me do anything or have anything in my life that would hinder Your work that week. Oh God, would You help us all to do some spiritual evaluation as we go into one of the greatest weeks of our year? Oh, blessed Savior, Holy Spirit, would You have Your will and way in Your people this morning as they get honest with You and then with themselves and perhaps even with others that they need to talk to? Oh, Lord, do Your work now. In Jesus' name I pray.